Good morning and welcome to Unity of Wimberley, Texas. I'm the Reverend Jill Carey and I'm glad to be speaking with you this morning. No matter where you are, no matter what time you listen to this talk, I'm glad to be joining in with you and I reach out my heart to you as though we were in the same room together. Throughout this month of May, I'm going to be focusing on a theme called the Modern Mystic. I spoke last week about us finding a more comfort in our solitary spiritual practice as we're not able to be with each other in community for Sunday services and for classes as we usually are. I have to tell you that this last Wednesday for our final Zoom class in April, not only did we share inspirational and funny and touching readings with each other, we shared a lot of laughter, and at the very end, we shared our pets with each other. So that was fun. So we're finding ways to connect with each other that are joyful for us and meaningful for us, and the best way that we can connect while we're not able to connect in person. So today, I'd like to focus on the 23rd Psalm, which are ancient words that were written by, we think, the King David of the Hebrew Bible. These are words that are familiar to us, and you've probably heard them read for many different interpretations of the Bible. Today, I'll be reading that from the New Revised Standard Bible, which is the one I've used for decades. I like the translation. I like its historical roots. So let me read the 23rd Psalm, and these may be a little bit different than the words you've heard, but also the same. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. As you know from hearing these words, that they are for an ancient audience in which keeping sheep in a pasture was the way many people made their livelihood. It talks about anointing. It talks about having enemies. And so we're going to look at this reading today, not only in its ancient sense, but also in a very modern interpretation that applies especially to us today. It is so relevant to us. First, I'd like to read to you something that I found in on the website called Fillmore Fellowship. And these are different readings and teachings from Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, the co-founders of Unity. And I'll tell you when this was written after I've read it to you. But this was a service that took place on Wednesday, June the 28th, all many years ago. Mrs. McClintock had charge of the services on Wednesday, June 28th. Mrs. Sloan gave an orchestral voluntary, after which the audience sang from Truth in Song, Waiting on the Lord. For silent meditation, Mrs. McClintock gave the affirmation, I wait upon the Lord, my strength is renewed. Following this prayer, the audience sang, He leadeth me, then again went into the silence with the thought, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Mrs. McClintock took for her theme 23rd Psalm, saying, We get so hustled, worried, and flurried in our contact with the outside world that we find it hard to get still. This psalm is a beautiful picture teaching of the Good Shepherd's care for us. How many things do we lack when we realize that the Lord is our shepherd? It gives us a sense of protection to know that we can lack no good because we are in the care of the shepherd of our souls. We cannot lack rest, for he maketh us to lie down in green pastures of contentment. And we shall not want drink, because the shepherd goes before and prepares it for us. The restless, turbulent waves of material thought are made still. We are given peace, joy, renewed strength. We shall not want forgiveness. He restoreth my soul. Soul means life. When we realize the presence of an indwelling God, we have the rest that belongs to his people. To restore means to renew, to recharge. When we are restored, there is no dragging, no weariness, no old material thought affects us. The soul is the battlefield of the consciousness. If it turns, it forces to the outer. There is failure, disappointment, and lack. If it turns inward to its shepherd, its strength is renewed. We are like little children seeking. The good shepherd goes with us to guide us in the right way. It is rest to let him take charge of everything. And when we have given it all over, we never lack knowledge as to the way in which we should go. In all the little things and in all the great things, there will be no lack, for the shepherd provides for his flock. We shall not want companionship. Thou art with me. The valley that the psalmist speaks of is the dark places in consciousness, the subconscious depths through which we are sometimes called to pass. We fear these places, but the shepherd goes before and makes them safe for us. We need his constant care to keep us from stumbling, from running off into beliefs of materiality. We are always protected. There is a place within where we can retire when we feel lonely or when we have too much company. That place is where the Most High dwells. I will fear no evil. If we meet the approach of evil with the fearless knowledge of the shepherd's protection, it cannot touch us. We can always receive comfort from the truth that we cannot drift beyond his love and care. Every morning, we are to get still and realize that we put ourselves and our affairs into the infinite keeping. Then, although we may forget, he will not. The shepherd of our souls rescues us from forbidden, fatal places. We cannot be lost. God cannot lose himself. We shall not want food, for the table of the Lord is spread before us. We have come into the consciousness of the care of the infinite love, and we shall be fed. Oil is a symbol of joy, and the anointment of joy is upon us. We shall not want anything in this life, and as there is no cessation of life, we shall not want anything now or ever. This body is the house of the Lord. If I realize that it is the living temple of the living God, I shall certainly live in it forever. Not the body of limitation, but the renewed, unlimited, glorified body, which is truly the house of the Lord. The usual healing service followed the address. It was conducted by Mrs. Fillmore. The offering was blessed with the word, because this was given in love, it is blessed to the giver, blessed to the receiver, blessed to the cause. The meeting closed with the song, I Will Not Forget Thee. And I'd like you to know that that service and all of that reading took place on July 5th, 1911. And so we have in that those ancient words brought into the 20th century. And although that language is not the same language that we would use today, it is very sweet to hear it spoken of in the terms of the early part of the 20th century in in the words of the time, in the words that the Fillmores would have used. And so, gender aside, I noticed that she calls God he all the time. Gender reference aside, that's still a very sweet reading for us. And it's a reminder that we still dwell in these truths. We still dwell in knowing that the words of the psalm are the words for today, especially. People have sought comfort in Psalm 23 for centuries. It's six verses, and in it we find universal truth. Meditating on this psalm can bring us forth in our efforts to leave behind our error thoughts, to leave behind thoughts that don't serve us, and claim the truth as the foundation of who we are and what we're about. Truth is universal law. So when we hear the words, "The Lord is my shepherd," what we're also hearing is the Lord is the law. The law is my shepherd. All the universal truths, that is my shepherd. Universal law requires that all things work together for our good. So we're starting out, "The Lord is my shepherd," by saying the universal law will never let me down. Like a good shepherd gathering his lost sheep, universal law directs us home to the realization of our oneness with Mother, Father, God, and we're never left alone to find our way home the best way that we can. I'm borrowing from the words of Dr. Nancy Detweiler, who has a master's in education and a master's in divinity, who broke down this scripture in metaphysical terms in just a beautiful way that I'm borrowing from because I couldn't have said it any better. So the problem with us, if we look at ourselves as sheep, sheep are not particularly smart. Sometimes we're not either. And our problem is that we get lost. We get lost in our thoughts. We get lost in our daily affairs. We get lost in a story that we're telling ourselves about life or about someone else. And so we get lost. And that is what some of the planetary changes that are happening right now can do to us, is make us feel lost. But also humanity is becoming more aware of its shepherd, of the universal law. So that is one of the good things that we can seek and find in what we're going through right now, even as we are burdened with death and illness and the changes in our lives. We can't get lost. And if we are, we have the shepherd, we have the Lord, we have the law to bring us back. So if we live in that, "The Lord is my shepherd," then I shall not want. You have heard prosperity lessons from us over and over and over again, lessons about abundance. We never lack for anything. Everything that we need is at hand. It is already in place. So all we have to do is proclaim that. And everything that we need will come to us. As we do that, the law makes me lay down in green pastures. So the green pasture already exists. We don't have to struggle and toil. We don't have to till the ground. We don't have to plant the grass. We don't have to water it until the pasture is green. The green pasture is already there, and all we have to do is lie down in it and rest in God. Rest in God. So, "The Lord is my shepherd. The law guides me. I shall not want. I have everything I need. I lie down in green pastures. I rest. He leads me beside still waters." So we allow stillness to restore our soul. And that's just a lovely image, isn't it? If you've ever been around the rivers and lakes here in our beautiful state, you know that if you have the opportunity to lay beside a body of water and rest, There is the sound of that water, the smell of the water, the grass beside it, or the sand if you're at the beach, the warming sand. This is where we can rest. And I want you to use that as an image, if you need, to find the rest and the peace that you might be seeking on a day when you feel troubled. We have the privilege of lying down in the green pasture because it already exists. We allow those still waters to restore our soul. And does this mean that then we can just live a life of leisure and not do any of our part? And there's a yes and a no to that. We have to remember that we are aligned with God all the time. That's our job. That is what we have to do. We claim what already is. And we also remember that we're a unique expression of, and a joyful expression of God. That's who we are. That's where our work is. Not in the toil, not in the labor, but in remembering, in not being lost. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. The right path is the path that allows us to express uniquely who God is in us. That's the right path. That's that stillness and that listening that's important to us so that we know when it's right to do the next thing, when the next thing is calling us to action, and when it's time to be still. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Remember that universal law says that God is everywhere present, all-knowing, all-powerful. There is no place that God is not. And especially in times when we're troubled, when we're grieving, when we're having our dark moments, we remember that our attention is on God's presence within us. We need not fear evil or our error thoughts. And aren't we grateful that our error thoughts do not all manifest? Aren't we grateful that we have grace that is greater than our bad thinking? Aren't we grateful that forgiveness abounds? Aren't we grateful that we always have another chance? And so as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, as we walk through our dark times, as we walk through the times when we're caught up in our own irrational, unkind, uncompassionate, low self-esteem thinking, that God is with us all the time. That indwelling spirit is always there, greater than us. Our soul knows exactly what it needs. And so we can trust that our journey has a purpose, that our journey is being guided all the time. Whatever is perfect for us is whatever it takes for our soul to move forward on its spiritual journey. So if you're going through something difficult, know, beloved, that your soul is learning exactly what it needs to learn, and that God is with us in every single thing. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff were ancient symbols of authority and kingship, which is once again establishing the power of God in our lives. What we can do is claim that rod and that staff for ourselves. We know that it allows God's power and authority to reign in our lives. And you see, this is not about giving up anything to God. The only thing that we're giving up is our claim to run our lives all by ourselves. What we're giving up is our need to control everything. And there's a sweet humility in acknowledging that God is working in and through us. God does not have God's thumb upon our heads, moving us around from spot to spot, predetermining everything that's going to happen. But our soul knows exactly what it needs, and we can trust in that. And we can trust in God as companion and partner to our souls. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. While we live our lives in a world of turmoil and change, universal law prepares a feast for us, a feast of love, abundance, and joy. I just love that. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Most of our enemies are not outside of ourselves. Most of our enemies, we can make them up just right, all by ourselves. We can do that. We can get ourselves in our own stew. And so the feast is being prepared even when we are faced with our fears, our doubts, our anger, our misunderstanding, our feeling sorry for ourselves. That feast is being prepared for us. And to anoint our heads with oil, oh my goodness, to anoint the head was to invest a person with power. It was a supreme blessing to be anointed with oil. And some of you know this, it's also for divine sanctification, for divine approval. Some of you know that, especially our chaplains, that after the chaplain training has occurred and people have committed themselves to the chaplain work, we have an anointing of head and hands as a physical symbol of that internal power, of that internal sacredness. I also do that with those who are dying or who have died. I anoint them on their journey because they are powerfully moving into the next stage of their spiritual life. So anointing with oil, whether it's literal or figurative, is an ancient and powerful symbol of accepting the power and the sacredness that is already ours. We each have a holy mission to carry out, and that sacred oil is there to remind us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, as we make the conscious choice to walk away from our error thinking. Our lives are mercifully filled with good. Isn't that wonderful? We walk away from that which doesn't serve us, and we walk into our good. There's never a vacuum there. Sometimes there's a little bit of lag in time, and that's when we're called upon to have patience, to wait upon the Lord, to wait upon the law. By our own choice, goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our lives. And I would invite you to look for where goodness and mercy are showing up in your life every day. Every day, we can find that. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. This identifies where our true home is. This is where our true home is. Dwelling in the house of the Lord, the house of the law, the house of the universal truth, the house of goodness and wisdom and mercy, the house of abundance, the house of joy, the house of power. That's what this is all about. And it's especially important for us to claim it in these days because it's easy for us to lose sight. It's easy for us to lose sight of where our protection is, where our power is, where our joy is. And I'm going to invite you to do this, beloved, if you will. in the next, let's say in this next month. Let's try this for the month of May. Set your alarm for, let's say, noon. And at noon on every day of the month of May from here on out, let us just stop and read Psalm 23 in the comfort and security of our own home or wherever we happen to be. You can put it on your phone. You can have it to pull up on your desktop. You can open your Bible. You can write it down on a piece of paper. But shall we join with each other every day at noon for the month of May and have the 23rd Psalm as that which joins us and reminds us? Will you do that with us? Can we do that together so that while we're apart, we can feel the presence and the power of each other, even as we're feeling the presence and power of God? Let's do that. Let us, and I'll send a reminder out, but let's do that so that we can be with each other. I love this psalm. It's good for all occasions. It's good for every day. It's good for anything that troubles us. It is good soul medicine. It's good Bible medicine. And so as we get ready to go into our meditation today, just let the words, I've given you a lot of interpretation today, just let those words sink into your soul. And as we begin our meditation, I'd like to share with you some words from Ernest Holmes. And this will help us along our way as we re-engage in our relationship with God. We're going to find ourselves falling in love with God throughout this month, and we'll find different ways to do that. That is part of our theme of being modern mystics, to fall in love with God. So I'm going to ring the chime and then read these words from Ernest Holmes as we go into meditation with each other. If you're comfortable, close your eyes and assume whatever position is comfortable for you for prayer. And listen to these words as we begin to breathe into the deep silence of our souls. Still waters. I will listen for thy voice, inner presence. It will guide me and acquaint me with all knowledge. Thy voice is sweet and tender. It is always kind and gentle. O lover of my soul, how I adore thee, how I love thee, how I love thy voice. It thrills me with gladness and joy. It fills me with peace and calm and soothes me. It quiets me and gives me wonderful rest. I listen, O Divine Spirit, I listen to thee alone. And so now listen. Listen for the great lover of your soul. Listen for that still, small, but powerful voice within you. Listen as it reminds you that you are protected. Listen as it reminds you that you are never lost. Listen as it reminds you that you have plenty. That your life is abundant. Remember that your soul is restored every day. That you lie down in that green pasture of beloved rest beside the still water that calms your soul. Remember that a feast is prepared for you. And that you are blessed with all power, with the sanctity of the living God. Remember, that goodness and mercy are with you all of your life. And that you dwell in the house of truth, not only in this lifetime, but forever. Oh, beloved, in the silence of your soul, give thanks and affirmation of the truth just as David did in the ancient days. Know these words with confidence and gratitude. For surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. And you dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And breathe this joyous truth. Breathe it in. Let yourself be drenched in it. When you're ready, open your eyes. And join me as we join hands with each other. As the blessing of God is upon all of us. As the words of Psalm 23 echo in your mind and your heart. And so it is.